go. We're gonna go up and down the hills. When we go up, we lean forward. So touch Diamond's hair.
All right, Annalise, you're
lean forward. Here we go. Up, up.
This hour, Miracles in Motion. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we'll visit Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher. Children and adults with special needs go there to work with therapists and horses to get stronger and to improve their neuromotor function. A group of veterans also gets up close and personal with these gentle horses.
They are the mirror to your soul, and that's why they work so well in the vets program. If you're anxious, they're anxious. If you're calm, they're calm.
Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, our visit to Miracles in Motion, just outside of Swisher. It's a therapeutic equestrian center, home to a herd of gentle horses and children and adults with physical, motor, social, or cognitive disabilities come to be a part of hippotherapy and therapeutic riding classes. Participants work with trained, licensed therapists, volunteers, and, of course, horses. The movement of the horse is used to improve the patient's neuromotor function. And we started our visit as two children were participating in a hippotherapy session. I talked to Karen Rademacher of Iowa City, who was watching her daughter Annalise ride.
She started when she was two, so she's been doing, this is her third time through, and she just loves the horses.
Tell me a little bit about the challenges she's facing.
She was born 10 weeks early, so when she she's adopted. She got to us, she was 18 months old, and she could finally sit up, but she would just sit in one spot, and that was it. She wasn't really talking or anything like that. So she has gone through all the therapies and just really loves the horses.
And you're back for your third time. So what kind of growth did you see the first time that made you think this is something we need to continue doing?
She really expanded on her PT, her physical therapy, her occupational therapy, and her speech. Because they were talking about and singing songs on the horse and doing all sorts of things like that. And she just enjoyed it so much. It was like, oh, this is, you know, all-around therapy.
How old is Annalise now?
She's seven now, and she's progressed. She can now talk very nicely. Her physical is really good. It's just amazing where she's come from. It's such a good sensory. There's so many senses getting fulfilled all at the same time that it's amazing what it can do for kids. Just animal therapy in general, but getting on the horse and bouncing and being able to do all the vestibular and different senses. It's amazing.
How excited does Annalise get on horse day?
Very. She actually pops out of bed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We're heading back outside. Lois James is here with us now. She is the president of the board here at Miracles in Motion. And Lois, I know there's another hippotherapy class going on right now. So let's just take a peek in and see what we're working with. Do you know what these students are working on today?
Usually it's issues of balance and strength and maybe stretching a little bit. Sometimes it's trying to get a reaction from the child. We ask the child to, say, walk on in whatever way they can. Some of them will just do like this with their hands. Some of them will just make a sound. But we're looking for anything, just that they know that they need to do something to ask the horse to go.
And clearly you're working with students at very different skill levels, very different challenges. The young lady in this class is sitting up nice and straight, and she's got the reins and is clearly in control of the situation, or at least feels like she is. And then the young man behind her is clearly working on a lot more of those strength and balance issues and even holding up his head.
Sit up nice and tall, Kishu. Nice job. Here we go. We're going to go up and down the hills. What do we do when we go up? When we go up, we lean forward. So touch Diamond's hair.
All right, Annalise, you're good.
Lean forward. Here we go. Up, up, up. Good job. Okay, now we're going to go down.
We're halfway.
So lean back just a little bit. Down and back up. Lean forward and touch his hair. Touch his hair.
You can sometimes even feel the muscles in their legs, for instance, trying, being strengthened, you know, moving as they're trying to keep their balance on the horse. You can really, it's amazing that one class a week, you can see a difference. It just is amazing. And we do have some riders that really have the potential of learning to ride independently. You see that a little bit more in the therapeutic riding class. That's more geared towards really teaching kids how to ride. This is more for physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, that kind of, those kinds of things. It's been fun for me to see the kids come back the next year and see the difference in their development, and then how quickly they can kind of pick back up on what's going on and you know, have a little bit, you know, more age on them, so maybe they can do some things a little bit better than they could the year before.
So we're out on the sensory loop, and the horses are going over what they're called moguls. What's the purpose of that?
So what that forces the rider to do is have different positions. So they're supposed to kind of lean back when they're going down and then lean forward when they're going up. And plus it just means they need to work harder to maintain their balance. And so we can go over those two or three times and, you know, the kids kind of get the hang of it, and pretty soon they're doing what you want them to do on the moguls.
Okay, now we're going up, up, up. Can you look up? Look where we're going. And down, down, down. We're going to go through the instruments to the mailboxes. All right.
And they're headed for the mailboxes. The Indeed. Kids seem pretty excited about this.
Yeah, we have little stuffed animals hidden in about 6 or 8 mailboxes. And then they're at higher than normal mailbox level. And so the horse comes up beside the mailbox, and then the child gets to open the mailbox and see what's inside. And what that does is the child has to really stretch to get over to the mailbox. And so they're doing stretching without even realizing they're doing stretching to find out what's in the mailbox.
Kishu, push up tall so you can get something out of the mailbox. Okay, tell your horse, say, whoa, back. Whoa, you got to sit up tall if you're going to reach in the mailbox. What are we going to find? Let's see. Can you reach in there? What's in there?
Put him in the next mailbox.
What do you see? It's a tiger. What does a tiger say? Good job. Say hi, tiger. Look at his eyes are blue. Can you put the tiger back in? Where should we send the tiger? Should we send him to China? Say bye, tiger. Close it. Push. Do you want to open another mailbox?
And they move them from mailbox to mailbox, put the flags up and down.
Right. Anything we can do to add interest to therapy is basically what we're doing with some of the sensory trail stops. We've got another stop where there's several musical instruments, and so we bring the horse up alongside the musical instrument, and then they bang on it or ring something or, you know, just make noise while they're on top of the horse at 3 or 4 different musical instruments.
Which just reinforces how well-behaved these horses are, because that's the last thing I would want to do if I had a horse, is to make loud, scary noises.
Indeed, and you can see the horses just stand there stock still. I mean, these horses have kind of been there, done it, no big deal. The very first time I saw us take a child on the sensory trail, I'm like, oh, I really can't believe we're doing this. My horse was very well-trained, very reliable, very stable. I don't think he would have reacted with as much calm as these horses did.
We have time for one instrument before we go back in for trotting.
Right side.
instrument, please?
No, you're really close.
Can I on my feet?
Well, that was a short song. It was really pretty, though. I liked it with two hands. All right, are you nice and straight again?
Good job.
One more time. Ready, set, go. You do it. Okay, now sit up nice and tall. And what do you tell Diamond to tell him to go? Walk on. Good signing.
We have a bridge, too, that we ask the horses to walk over. And, of course, they make a different sound when they walk over the bridge. And, again, no problem at all for our therapy horses. You know, a horse that hadn't been used to that would take a little getting used to the sounds that they make when they go across that wooden bridge.
Seeing the students in this class also just underlines the different skill levels, the different strength levels of the different students. The little girl in this class wants to go and trot, and she's just doing a fabulous job on top of the horse and even guiding the horse or trying to.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's certain students that are able to sit up straight, are able to take the reins and actually ask the horse to turn both directions, and she's one of those students, and she loves to trot. That, you know, the whole lesson, it's when are we going to trot? When are we going to trot? And so they're going inside right now, and they are going to trot for her. And so some students are at that level. Other students, we're just really trying to get them to develop some strength so they can sit up straight on the back of the horse.
How long have you been involved?
Well, this is just my second year, but I've known of Miracles forever. And like many of us, I came out here to volunteer, and they asked me to be on the board because I love horses. I'd lost my horse. I needed horses back in my life, and so that was a way to do it. What happens, though, is then you get hooked on the kids, and so then you keep coming back because of the kids. It's really very rewarding, fun, funny. It's just an incredible place to work.
I can see the emotion when you're talking about that. Do you remember the moment that you saw something that you changed you?
You know, it would have been last year, and I can't remember anything. Well, yes, I remember this one student. And having had a horse, I watched them put this student on a horse, and I thought, how can they put that student on a horse? I mean, it seemed like she was so fragile, so unsteady. And then I saw her be able to kind of settle into it. And certainly not, you know, not immediately get much better, but I could see that it was forcing her to work, forcing her to do the therapy she needed to do in a very fun environment.
That's Lois James, president of the board at Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher. Coming up, I'll talk with a mother whose sons love to come and ride. One of her boys has even been moved to write poetry about his horse. I'll also talk with a physical therapist, and we'll find out more about the army of volunteers that keeps Miracles in Motion in motion. We'll be back after a break. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Miracles in Motion is a therapeutic equestrian center in eastern Iowa. It's just outside of Swisher. It offers hippotherapy and therapeutic riding classes to children and adults with special needs. The idea is that the movement of the horse helps individuals improve their neuromotor function, but the experience seems to go well beyond just the physical benefits. Some participants start out in hippotherapy but move on to therapeutic riding. And here, therapists, volunteers, and students are getting ready for a class.
Are you ready to ride today? I don't think you are. Are you sure you don't want to just go home? No? Okay. All right,
Jonathan.
Yeah.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
So my name is Rekha Randhir. My boys, Jaden Randhir, is riding on jets. He's 11 years. Jonathan Randhir is riding on scooter, and he's 10 years.
How long have Jonathan and Jaden been riding here?
We started last year. So we did hippotherapy, and then that was one session. Then we did two sessions of therapeutic riding. I think this is the third one.
Let's talk about Jonathan. He had a hard time getting on the horse tonight. But as soon as he got on the horse, he calmed down immediately. What do you see therapeutic riding doing for him?
Overall, all this period of doing therapeutic riding, first thing we found was they love it. It's more motivating than the other therapies we've done. All therapies are great because those things involve more of work, and this is kind of fun also. So I think getting ready to come, getting ready to go anywhere sometimes is a challenge. He runs like that. But to come to Miracles, we have no issues. He just puts on his shoes, comes and sits in the car like a very nice kid. So, you know, that's one thing. It's fun. It's definitely motivating. And the other thing I felt was kind of a social bonding that they have with the animal. He wrote a poem for a Scooter. So I really didn't know such, you know, bonding exist in his heart. So that was amazing.
And he does not speak, but he communicates.
He communicates to type, to the, you know, iPad. There's a software.
I have a copy of his poem. Would you read it for us?
Oh, sure.
Because they shared it with us because they thought it was so summer.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Jonathan wrote this poem for his horse Scooter. And he's been on Scooter for all the sessions. Somehow, you know, it happened that he was given that, given Scooter. The poem goes like this. I'm lost in my head to you, my friend. Every time I'm riding on you, I feel nice about the way you move. Going to gird up my pace with yours. Together we will make lots of mighty tours. Fine in making fun with buddies. Love the way your tail swirls to manifest your beauty. Love, Jonathan.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
What do you feel like it does for Jaden? He really seems to be enjoying himself.
Jaden loves loves this place a lot. He is a very great thinker. He tells you things, you know, very scientifically. So initially, he used to have anxiety when coming in. And then we used to see as soon as he's on the horse and when it starts moving, he just calms down. And I think once we even, he can communicate very well, like why it happens, what happened. And the team was here and I said, you want to tell us what happened? I don't know whether they shared with you, but he said amazing. It really was so amazing what he said. He said, when I sit on the horse, my mind calms. I said, why do you think it happens? And then he said, when we sit on the horse, the equilibrium of our body goes into a state of rest. I said, wow, that's good to know. So I think physically also something happens, and he's able to connect that. So I've seen that really well. And the second thing, I think them gaining their core strength, you know, Jaden actually flops a lot. Like, he doesn't have a good posture. This is kind of aiding him a lot. Like, he's able to sit with more core strength. So even, you know, that's been a good thing in Jaden's part.
You see the change in the boys when they're here, and you said it's done a lot to build their strength. Do you feel like that change lasts when they leave? Does this session change them for the rest of the evening or even longer?
Oh, Okay. Going back, whether they have anything that affects their behaviors, mm-hmm. because we came here.
Right. What's it like after the session?
Okay, after the session, they're a little calmer, definitely. And we go and talk about it. They would say they had a good day and things like that. Usually we do it's pretty late in the evening, so we don't go and do some work. It's more like going back and just, you know, finishing up if they hadn't done the dinner, mm-hmm. and then going to sleep. So I don't work as such with him. I finish all their homeworks before we come. So I don't know how it's affecting, you know, their work as such. But overall, we don't have any tantrums or, you know, stuff like that. Maybe behavior-wise, definitely it calms down. It lasts.
It sounds like it's been a really powerful experience for both of them.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, something which they look forward to.
Rekha, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's Rekha Randhir. Her sons have participated in 4 sessions at Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher. During hippotherapy sessions, each child works one-on-one with a therapist. Mary Beth Hitchwa is one of those therapists. I talked with her as she took a break while another therapist worked with a toddler who was struggling a bit with the day's class.
No, I'm sure they don't always cry.
So when you had the opportunity to train to do hippotherapy, why were you interested?
I didn't know that much about horses. I just had casual trail rides, but I loved it, and I'd heard so many positive things, how it children respond to horses, and the just makes sense that the movement helps with their trunk control and calming and just lots of great advantages.
What makes a child a good candidate?
Well, there's a variety of children. From a PT perspective, it can help with their trunk control, their muscle use. It just takes so many different muscles to sit upright. And then that movement of the horse can have lots of good effects on the muscles, to challenge them, to keep their head up. And it can also have a lot of calming effects. So OTs also, we don't have any OTs right now for billing purposes that see the kids. But a lot of our kids with autism, it just really helps with the calming, and they have to stay focused on what we're asking them to do, or they kind of can focus on the horse, on the animal.
It's hard to know the child who's on the horse right now. She has calmed down. How young can a child start hippotherapy?
We start them at 2. Just for developmentally, that they're generally more ready for it. And like this little girl does not have great trunk control, but it really helps her improve it. So we often have to walk really close and help support them. But I wish my other girl was here. She started out leaning on a bolster because she couldn't hold her head up, couldn't hold her trunk straight. And now she's using the reins to... She holds on to him and can steer with the horse. And she still has kind of wobbly head control, but it's generally quite good. She looks like a pro.
For children who perhaps with autism, where they have a difficult time connecting socially, there have been a lot of stories told and studies that have shown that sometimes those kids have an easier time connecting with animals than with humans. Is that something you've seen?
Maybe not as exact as some of the books claim, but, you know, they definitely know that animal's there, the body warmth and the texture of the animal, and they know it's a living human thing, or human, living thing. So they don't build up a real bond because it's just once a week, but the kids remember their horses' names and like, well, that's my horse, and yeah, so there's definitely something there.
Well, Maribeth, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. It's great to meet you in person.
Mary Beth Hitchwa is a therapist at Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher. And now we are going to spend some time in the barn, where volunteers are gearing up for another therapeutic riding class. They are brushing horses, getting saddles on, and talking about the needs and challenges of each participant.
Jan Gorman is with me. She works with the staff, develops programming, structures the classes, and you seem to be the busiest person around here.
Oh, it's just today, because I'm the team lead today. Other days it might be Carla or it might be Lois, or we have a number. And tonight it's the lady in the blue shirt that's running around. Right. Carrie is the team lead for the evening class. So, but yeah, we're pretty busy. We have a lot to do, and we do a lot of property stuff as well. And so yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's a fun busy, and we get a lot of kicks out of it. I don't know if you saw this last class, but this James that I was working with, it's my gym.
Yeah, he had you running, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a great time to actually get a little workout.
Yeah, kind of absolutely. Fun. How many staff members do you have?
Oh, that's a good question. It shouldn't be that hard to count because it's a small number. Everybody works part-time, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 people who are employed, and we have about 65 to 67 active volunteers on any given day. The number varies, and we have then a total of about 110 to 120 volunteers. People come in and come out. We ask a lot of volunteers, and so they can give us 5 weeks, but they can't maybe give us another 5-week program. So we're always recruiting volunteers. We're always in need of volunteers, and we're expanding our program so that even emphasizes our need for volunteers. So I don't know what else you want to know.
Well, so what brought you to Miracles in Motion?
I came to Miracles. My career was in working with people with disabilities and at various levels and with various kinds of challenges. And I also owned horses, and I bred and raised thoroughbreds for a number of years. And so we got out of that, and then I realized I really missed that. And I had changed my career, and I was doing other things. I teach, and I was like, I need to do something, and it's time to do something a little bit different. So I thought, well, why don't we marry the two of the disability field with the horse field, and why in the world did I not think of this, some years ago? Because I knew Miracles was here, so that's how I got involved. I came out, and I was a horse leader, and so that I could just be with horses, and then it was like, oh yeah, I remember those kids, and they change so. It's amazing from, the beginning of this spring program, which was the first that we offered this year, so this spring, and so some of these children are not able to sit up, and then the next week, I'm serious, they're sitting up, and then the next week they're sitting up with less support, and the next week, and sometimes then we're becoming more verbal. For some of the kids, but we also serve adults. So we also have adults who have been coming into therapeutic riding and working with us for a number of years. And if you're able to stick around this evening for a little bit, you'll see some of these. And some of them were in HIPPO classes, and then kind of graduated and went into therapeutic riding. So it's just kind of fun. We get to meet a lot of new people, and the families are wonderful. They're so friendly and supportive and wanting to help their kids. It's, whether they're an adult or a 2-year-old. Yeah, so.
So this work brings two of your passions together, but do you remember what you saw that made you realize how powerful this kind of therapy with a horse could be?
It was what I saw, but it was also what I heard. I went up to a father in a HIPPO class when I wasn't needed in the class, and I just went up to this dad, and I said, "So, how do you feel about this program?" I said, "So, is this your daughter over here?" And this was early last summer, and I hadn't connected all the children with the parents yet, and I said, "So, which one is your daughter? Is it that one?" He's like, "Yeah," and I said, "So, how does this connect for you? How does this work for you? And what do you feel about it?" And his response just knocked my socks off. He said, "Well, she didn't walk when she came, and she didn't talk when she came." And he said, "Now, whether it was she was on a horse or whatever, but within 2 weeks, she was taking some steps. And that summer, she started to talk. And she was 4 when she started here. So it's a noticeable difference, and so that's what got me hooked. I wasn't a part of that story that the father was sharing, but I was just to hear it. And so even now I get a little emotional, as you can tell. Yeah. But then we've got some others too, where you just see the children change from one 4-2-4-6-week program to the next. And then you also have the therapists who are fantastic with the HIPPO kids. And then the volunteers, I mean, they just come out here because they love it. I mean, you know, can you imagine, you know, 60-some volunteers a week? And some of them are coming out here several times a week. So it's not like just we're going to come out for a couple hours and kind of hang out in the countryside. They truly do enjoy being out here. You know, some people get their fix off the horse, and other people get their fix off of being with the kids, and others it's the duel, it's the partnership.
Yeah. Well, I can tell that there's a lot of hustle and bustle getting ready for the therapeutic riding classes, but Jan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Jan Gorman is volunteer coordinator for Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher. Coming up after a break, we'll meet the horses, and I'll talk with a veteran who volunteers at Miracles in Motion. He helps to run a horse care class for other veterans.
Part of the reason horses make such good therapy animals for veterans is being a prey animal they don't naturally trust, and, you know, us veterans sometimes have that same problem.
More from Miracles in Motion in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're visiting Miracles in Motion, a therapeutic equestrian center. It's celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And we've been talking about hippotherapy and therapeutic riding. That's physical therapy on the back of a horse designed to help people with special needs improve their neuromotor function. The center is located on 70 acres outside of Swisher, and it's home to 14 therapy horses, all of them male. Now we're going to spend some time in the barn with the horses and with Ken Manley. He is the barn manager at Miracles in Motion. He is also a Vietnam veteran and head of the veterans program.
In one of our vets classes, the guys had a four-year-old son, and he loved to muck stalls. And yeah. He was actually pretty good at it.
Nice. Yeah. I wonder if he outgrew that.
Well, he was about this tall, and the rake was about this tall. So. So this is our barn. We've got 10 stalls. There we keep the feed. The tack room is in the back, and our workbenches are over in the corner. All the first aid stuff is here.
All right, and there's no horses in here right now.
We've got some in the stalls. We have Scooter. He's one of our old-timers. Scooter is 33 years old. He's a former Chicago police horse, and he's one of the favorites with all the kids in the classes.
What makes him a favorite?
I think it's more his demeanor. He's very laid back. He's not temperamental at all. He doesn't get excited about anything. And he's very tolerant of all the kids jumping up and down and screaming and kicking him. And he just takes it in stride. He's been doing it for a long time out here.
How do you prepare a horse to be calm in the midst of all of that? I mean, you said Scooter's a former police horse, so presumably he went through some pretty serious training already before he came here.
Yeah, and he honestly would be the exception to the rule. I'm not sure in the way we get horses, you can train them. They have to have some of those characteristics for us to take them. So if someone says they have a horse they'd like to donate, what we do is we put together a team to go evaluate the horse. And we want to look at their temperament. We want to look at how easily they shy away from things or spook. So we throw beanie babies at them and rubber balls and pool noodles. And it's all about how they respond to that. And if they really have an adverse reaction to that, then we have to pass on it.
How did you get involved in this?
I'd like to say it was a judge gave me the sentence, but I have been involved with veterans issues in Iowa for a number of years. I established the Veterans Employee Resource Group at Rockwell Collins, and I took a position on the board here about 5 years ago, which really got me into the farm and spending time out here volunteering and helping with the horses. And then I resigned from the board for health reasons, and in October of 2016, Carla and a couple of board members approached me and asked me if I would be interested in starting a vets program, which we've tried to do out here for a number of years. And I could tell this time they were serious. So I agreed to do that, and then this job came up, and Carla twisted my arm and made me take it. So I've been out here now for about a year and a half as a barn manager, and it's the best job in the world.
Were you a horse guy before you got involved out here?
I was growing up. I grew up in Texas. I spent a lot of time on farms and ranches, and I worked on a ranch before I went in the Army. Then I spent 10 years in the Army. I always tell people in 1969, when you graduated from high school, if you didn't have plans to go to college, Uncle Sam was kind enough to plan your career for you.
Yeah.
So I took advantage of that. I spent about 10 years in the Army all over the world, and then worked in aerospace and defense for the next 40 years.
What brought you back to horses? Why did you make this connection?
I swore I would never do it again. But a good friend of mine knew that I used to ride, and I had been on the board out here, and asked me if I would be interested in joining the Iowa Mounted Color Guard, or being on the board. And so I said, you know, I'll come out and meet with you. So I met with her, and they were going on a ride, and I said, I don't have a horse. She said, well, I've got a horse you can use. And that was the first time I had been on a horse in almost 30 years. And I now own that horse. And he's out here in the pasture. His name is Cinco. He was born on the 5th of May at 5 o'clock. So what else are you going to name
right.
him? You know. But I've always had a passion for animals. And it's not hard to rekindle the romance with horses, because they are the mirror to your soul. And that's why they work so well in the vets program. If you're anxious, they're anxious. If you're calm, they're calm. And part of the reason horses make such good therapy animals for veterans is, being a prey animal, they don't naturally trust. And, you know, us veterans sometimes have that same problem. So when you start working with the horse and you realize that the horse is just going to behave the way you're behaving, it's sort of a living biofeedback tool. And it's fun watching the vets in the program, because you'll see over a course of time where they're starting to make that connection. And the horse will calm the person down, or the person will calm the horse down, and they click and they start forming that bond. And that's when it's really fun to watch.
Tell me how the veterans program works. What's the goal?
So it's nothing fancy. We don't use the T word. It's not therapy. I'm not a therapist. It's therapeutic. Basically, we bring veterans in, we put them with our horses, and we kind of let the horses and the veterans pick their partners. And then we start at ground zero. We don't assume they know anything. We teach them, this is a horse, you know, teach them the parts of a horse. We teach them how to groom the horse, how to clean their feet, how to care for them, how to take their temperature. And then from there, we move into a little bit of groundwork, how to lead the horse, proper way to hold the rope, proper way to lead the horse and communicate with the horse while you're doing that. Then we go into a little more rigorous exercise, lunging. And that's where the person and the horse really start developing their communication skills. And then from that, right up to riding. You know, how to tack the horse, riding, going, take them on a trail ride. And it doesn't make them an expert horse person, but it gives them a good foundation to continue with. and we hope that they will. We hope they'll continue to come out here and volunteer and help us and exercise, ride our horses or whatever.
So it helps the horses.
Mm-hmm.
You called it therapeutic, although not therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the veterans are getting out of this experience?
Oh, it looks like Scooter is ready to go back to work.
Yep.
We'll let him get all ready to go. See, how old is Scooter?
33.
33, so he's an old man.
He's an old man. He's not the oldest, though. Our oldest is Jasper, who's out here in this pasture.
Jasper's
in class, that's right.
Okay.
Jasper's 40,
wow,
which is really old for a horse, especially to be in the shape that he's in, because he's in really, really good condition. But we're honestly thinking about perhaps retiring Jasper after this year. He's been here for, as near as we can tell, about 25 years. So I think he's earned that gold watch.
Yeah. You know?
And there
he is.
If you retire Jasper, he still gets to stay,
he'll
right?
Stay here. He'll live out his life in luxury.
There's a bunch of people that would not let him leave.
Oh, no, no. Jasper is probably the all-time favorite out here. He's a really good horse. But he's also a cantankerous old man like me. You know, he wants to be fed on time, so he gets real angry if you're late with his food. And he'll start kicking the gate and whinnying at you and letting you know. When I drive up in the morning, he sees me and runs over to the corner of the gate and starts yelling. So so we know who actually runs the farm.
Well, he's keeping the time, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be late with his food?
Yeah, I guess because I'm just a rotten person deep down. You know.
I bet he doesn't think that.
No, Jasper's special, and the kids love him. Yeah. He's just so laid back. He doesn't get excited about anything. And those are the horses that we like. We have a few that aren't quite that relaxed. We have Raven, who is our juvenile delinquent. He's the youngest horse, I think. And if there's any way for him to get in trouble, he will find it. Yeah. He's the reason I had this.
Oh, no. What happened? This is the brace on your wrist.
Yeah. Looking at another horse out in the pasture, and I turned my back on him, and Raven came up on the other side and bit the horse I was looking at, who jumped into me and knocked me down.
So. Oh, no. Now, clearly, we just watched a very small child with a lot of strength issues ride Jasper with a horse like Raven. I mean, how does that horse participate in this program? Because you can't trust a horse.
When you put Raven in the class...
Yeah.
He's a perfect gentleman.
Huh.
You know, it's just when he's out in the pasture with the other horses and he's just a little jerk, you know.
He's like the kids who get bored in class,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You don't keep him busy.
ADD,
he's going to...
ADHD, a little bit of everything. But oddly enough, honestly, in class, he's a joy. You know, everybody likes him. And he's a good riding horse. He just has that little quirk that, you know, he has to... He just can't not cause trouble.
All right. Well,
I was kind of like that when I was his age. So.
Sounds like you relate to him a lot.
My wife would probably tell you I'm like that now. But,
yeah. So let me ask you. You said that the veterans group is not therapy, but it's therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the veterans who are in the group get out of this experience?
I think more than anything... they learn how to get out of their own head and just relax. I was diagnosed with PTSD in 2010 after 40 years after Vietnam. I know what it's like. I know all the crazy things that go through your head. And when you're working with a horse, you can't do that. You know, you have to be thinking about the horse. And by doing that, you actually kind of start thinking about yourself a little bit, too. And so I think the biggest thing is they just learn to get out of their own head and live in the moment and not worry about all the other stuff. You know? And it's great for veterans and their spouses. You know, our program is for families. And so it gives the married couple something that they can work on together and kind of reconnect. because, you know, it's becoming more common knowledge today, but it's always been the case where everybody that serves, their spouse also serves, just in a different way. And sometimes it's hard for them to reconnect when the veteran comes home. So giving them something to do that's not concerned with bills and who's going to take care of the kid today and the car broke down, it's just working on the horse and just having fun. And we get a lot of good comments from the vets and their families. It becomes a family thing.
And how long does a class last?
10 weeks. It's free to the veteran. No charge whatsoever. We provide everything. They provide the sweat and the hard work.
You talked about what veterans might get out of the program. And you also talked about that first ride that you had with Cinco. Mm-hmm. What did Cinco do for you?
Taught me to get over myself. A lot of times the horses have a way of letting you know that you're not quite as important as you think you are. And it's not always in a gentle way.
How did he do it? What did he do?
Oh, Cinco does it to me every day. Cinco is one of those horses that you either love him or you hate him, because every single day that I do something with him, he has this attitude that, okay, show me again why I have to do what you say. And a lot of horses are that way. It's, you know, why should I listen to you? Horses are herd animals. So they're looking for a leader. And if you're not going to be a leader, they don't want to follow you, because leaders protect them. And so it's always that will of am I going to win today or are you going to win today? And it's fun. You know, he's a good horse. Once you win that battle first thing in the morning, then he'll do anything you want all day long. But it's, you know, it's much like cowboys on the ranch. You know, usually they have a string when they're doing calf works, and not all of them are really well broken. So you go out, you saddle up, and you just wonder what the ride's going to be like for the first 30 seconds. So Cinco doesn't do that. He doesn't buck. But he'll I've had him, I put the blanket on him, I turn around to get the saddle, he pulls the blanket off. You know, normally he's the best horse I've ever seen for taking a bit. You just hold the bit up and he takes it right in his mouth when he wants to. Sometimes he just grabs hold of the lead rope and leads you around. And yeah, they all have their own personalities, but it's fun. It's fun.
So he helped you get over yourself. Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's a good friend.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cinco's my buddy. But I will admit, he's more partial to my wife than he is to me. You know, if I bring my wife out here and call Cinco, usually he'll come to the gate when I call him. But if my wife is with me, I'll call him and he'll run to the gate and go to her, you know, and just totally ignore me. It's like, you know, even if I have a treat, which is, you know, it's like, holy mackerel. And then my assistant out here, Maddie, Cinco's taken a liking to her. So, and she likes to gloat that he'll usually go to her first. But he's clearly a ladies' man.
Yeah, he
likes the ladies. And he loves to pose for cameras. He knows exactly what a camera is, and he will pose. You know, he's a ham.
Ken Manley is barn manager at Miracles in Motion. And this hour, we've been listening to our visit to Miracles in Motion. It's a therapeutic equestrian center outside of Swisher, celebrating 30 years this year. I want to say a special thanks to Carla Miller. She is acting executive director of Miracles in Motion. Thank you for being our tour guide and for making our visit possible. This episode of Talk of Iowa was produced by Emily Woodbury. You can go to iowapublicradio.org to see photos from our visit. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.